Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, August 3rd, and I am reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation for the book of Ezekiel. We pick up in the book of Romans today in chapter 6. Remember that yesterday we talked about the importance of faith, righteousness coming through faith in chapter 5. And now in chapter 6, the title in my Bible says, Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit about this passage in Romans. This passage reminds us that we're going to be a slave to somebody. We'll either be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or will be a slave to righteousness, which leads to life in Christ. And so as we move on in our day, I want you to remember that we have freedom. Freedom not to listen to sin. Freedom to listen to what God is asking us to do. And Lord, we come to you even now with ears open wide, wanting to know what is right for us so that we might live lives of obedience. Okay, let's move on to the book of Psalms. As we enter into Psalm 77, I just wanted to tell you that this is a lament psalm. And a lament psalm is when the psalmist is crying out to the Lord. There is this sense of lamenting the fact that he feels rejected or forgotten by God. He even says in verse 9, which we'll get to, has God forgotten to be merciful? But as is the kind of structure of most lament psalms, they turn. And the psalmist here in the second half of this psalm turns to remember the deeds of the Lord, and he meditates on the works of the Lord in the past, so that it's kind of like saying, okay, Lord, this is how I feel, but I want to remember and know who you really are. And then at the end of the psalm, we're going to see that the psalmist remembers one of the greatest acts of God's deliverance in the Red Sea. Psalm 77. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In my Bible, I've written here, even when we can't see God, we can know he is there for us. Even in times when it seems like we are seeking him and he is hidden, he is actually there. Just like the verse says, though your footprints were not seen, your path led through the sea. And so, Lord, we just ask in these moments as we contemplate what Psalm 77 means, that your spirit would lead us. And even in those moments when we do not feel it. Okay, we're going to move over to the book of Ezekiel. Today we are in Ezekiel chapter 16, and we're going to pick back up at verse 35 and go through the end of the chapter. Remember yesterday, we had the parable of a prostitute woman, and that this was who Israel was. And now we're going to talk about the judgment on Jerusalem's prostitution. Therefore, you prostitute, listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, because you have poured out your lust and exposed yourself in prostitution to all your lovers, and because you have worshipped detestable idols, and because you have slaughtered your children as sacrifices to your gods, this is what I am going to do. I will gather together all your allies, the lovers with whom you had sinned, both those you loved and those you hated, and I will strip you naked in front of them so they can stare at you. I will punish you for your murder and adultery. I will cover you with blood in my jealous fury. Then I will give you to these many nations who are your lovers, and they will destroy you. They will knock down your pagan shrines and the altars to your idols. They will strip you and take your beautiful jewels, leaving you stark naked. They will band together in a mob to stone you and cut you up with swords. They will burn your homes and punish you in front of many women. I will stop your prostitution and end your payments to your many lovers. Then at last my fury against you will be spent, and my jealous anger will subside. I will be calm and not be angry with you anymore. But first, because you have not remembered your youth, but have angered me by doing all these evil things, I will fully repay you for all your sins, says the Sovereign Lord. For you have added lewd acts to all your detestable sins. Everyone who makes up proverbs will say of you, like mother, like daughter. For your mother loathed her husband and her children, and so do you. And you are exactly like your sisters, for they despise their husbands and their children. Truly your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. Your older sister was Samaria, who lived with her daughters in the north. Your younger sister was Sodom, who lived with her daughters in the south. But you have not merely sinned as they did. You quickly surpassed them in corruption. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, Sodom and her daughters were never as wicked as you and your daughters. Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out, as you have seen. Even Samaria did not commit half your sins. You have done far more detestable things than your sisters ever did. They seem righteous compared to you. Shame on you. Your sins are so terrible that you make your sisters seem righteous, even virtuous. But someday I will restore the fortunes of Sodom and Samaria, and I will restore you too. Then you will be truly ashamed of everything you have done, for your sins make them feel good in comparison. Yes, your sisters Sodom and Samaria and all their peoples will be restored, and at that time you also will be restored. In your proud days you held Sodom in contempt. But now your greater wickedness has been exposed to all the world, and you are the one who is scorned by Edom and all her neighbors, and by Philistia. This is your punishment for all your lewdness and detestable sins, says the Lord. Now this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will give you what you deserve, for you have taken your solemn vows lightly by breaking your covenant. Yet I will remember the covenant I made with you when you were young, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember with shame all the evil you have done. I will make your sisters Samaria and Sodom to be your daughters, even though they are not part of our covenant. And I will reaffirm my covenant with you, and you will know that I am the Lord. You will remember your sins and cover your mouth in silent shame when I forgive you of all that you have done. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. We heard a good sermon on Sunday about prayer, and one of the aspects is that God initiates, and that oftentimes we run into prayer with all of our requests, but we don't sit and wait and listen to God. And I have to be honest that it is difficult for me to listen, but I am a believer in the fact that God speaks to us. And so as we close our time together, I just want to lead us in some time of listening for the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, I am tempted to just use a lot of words. And as the sermon on Sunday reminded us, sometimes we should come ready to listen. And so we just want to close this podcast with some music and with open hearts and open minds, asking that you would tell us the things that are important to you. Prompt our minds and our energies towards that which you have called us to today. Remind us of our purpose in you, we pray. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.